The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the Kiefer and Curry. I'm Tony Curry. Kip Kiefer, we do a show on Saturday mornings, ABC 3340. It's fantastic. And I guess this Saturday will be 6 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, 42 days? It was 48 days this past Saturday, so 41 days. So that's only about, that's just under 6 weeks.
Yeah, we got some killer games, those SEC and ABC games.
Oh, man,
games.
The first week is awesome.
Last year, it kicked off with Clemson and Georgia. I was like, okay, let's go. I mean, because normally 11 o'clock games, they're Big Ten games, they suck, and they're not really good. And I mean, ABC has gotten, and it's one game after another. For the most part, all season long, at 11, 2, and 6, or whatever it is, it is just knocked down, drag out. SEC Media Day is going on.
I watched all morning.
I have too. And having been at 19 SEC Media Days, we used to go out there to the to the Winfrey out there. And of course, we did our thing and the whole world was watching. And I was actually the day that Philip Fulmer was served with papers.
Oh, my gosh.
I was standing outside. He had a box of Dunkin' Donuts on his lap and someone walked up when he opened the door and they dropped the papers. And I knew the lawyer who was serving him. And so he came directly over to our booth. And that was when, of course, Philip Fulmer got served papers here at SEC Media Days. And so we were a big part of that and happy to be part of that, too, by the way.
And the very next year, he didn't come to SEC Media Days because he was threatened with arrest if he entered because he had to ignored those orders from the year before. Yeah, remember, he didn't come at all the next year.
He sure didn't, a big baby.
And I asked Paul Feinbaum on Saturday on my Game Time show, what's your most vivid memory? He goes, when Phil Fulmer refused to come because he was going to be arrested by some activist sheriff here in Alabama.
When that information was dropped in my lap, I thought it was a joke. And then I realized the guy who was speaking to me was a friend of mine and listened to my classic rock show. And I was doing both at the time. And he's like, I'm giving you the scoop here. And next thing you know, I had like 35 people sitting around our table wanting information about, you know, this documentation, what exactly he was being served with and how he's going to go about it. Was pretty amazing stuff. Anyway, SEC Media Days, they were obviously transformed and moved on to bigger and better things. And it used to be, you know, the coaches meetings were always interesting down in Destin because you could really kind of get everything was a little more relaxed.
Yeah,
it wasn't so stringent on, you know, going from spot to spot. And of course, it's Radio Row and it's a little crazy and you got these goofy, you know, Tony Zoo in the morning shows and these goofy people. And then you got sports shows and you got people that are doing internet shows and it's just a little out there. And so half the people don't know what the hell they're doing. And of course we were on Jock. So we were kind of the pick. And so Nick Saban would always come by our table. And of course having Jay Barker there did not hurt as well.
Oh, sure.
Just to kind of dive into it. The SEC and the Big Ten are the two big conferences.
Yeah.
Period. It's not the autonomous five. It's not the autonomous four. It's the autonomous two. Mm-hmm. Greg Sankey said the Big Ten has a different view on what we're going to do going into 2026 with the playoff system. He said they have a different idea of how this should run. We have a different idea of how it should run, and that's fine. We have a 12-team playoff right now, 5 conference champions. That can stay if we can't agree. And I would say, no, it can't. There is no way in hell it's staying at 12 teams because there's only more money to be had. It's going to 16 one way or another. And Greg Sankey is not happy with it staying at 12 teams.
I had the exact same conclusion, Tony. I think I even said to my TV, come on, Greg.
He is full of shit. There's no way he's going to be happy with it staying the same. And it will get done before next season because every year goes by. He said, unless you're going to tear up the MOU, which maybe other people want to do because they're concerns about the decision-making authority. But very clearly in this memorandum of understanding, is the authority granted the combination of the SEC and the Big Ten. Ultimately, we have to use that authority with great wisdom and discretion. Which means our two votes is going to carry a ton of weight for everyone else in college football, not only for the autonomous four, the five, whatever it is, or the rest of college football, as we know, including the UABs of the world. So the SEC wants to go 16-team format, 5 highest ranked conference champions, and then 11 at-large bids. They're calling it the 5-11.
Yep.
The Big Ten wants to reward conferences with guaranteed spots.
Mm-hmm.
And then have a play-in game to determine them and then reseed afterwards. And the Big Ten also wants the ACC and the SEC to add a conference game to go from 8 to 9, which the Big Ten is already doing. I don't want to go to another conference game. I don't want to see Alabama play Middle Tennessee State in lieu of playing Ole Miss or Vanderbilt or Kentucky. Don't get me wrong. In some cases, I would, because first of all, the ticket prices are a hell of a lot cheaper. You actually get a chance to go see a cream puff, which is nice, because if you got a wedding weekend or something and sometime in October, November, you've always got that. Okay, well, it's almost like a bye week, which is kind of nice sometimes, I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. In the SEC, it's so tough. And I guess you make an argument with the Big Ten, as boring as it is. You think Penn State, you think Iowa, you think Wisconsin, Alabama.
We don't have to be balanced on this show.
You really don't.
Because I had a hater last year tell me I was so unfair to the Big Ten. And I finally had enough, Tony. I sent back, dude, I do an SEC football show in the middle of Alabama. I'm not going to cater to the Big Ten. If listen to a show out of Chicago, if you want that, if you're listening to my show and want me to be fair and balanced with the Big Ten, you're barking up the wrong tree.
True. We're down here in Birmingham. We're in SEC land.
I'm an SEC guy. I'll tell you one other quick story. 2 years ago, we had a guy call and go, and I was really proud. My partner, Terry Quillian, doesn't take much guff from anybody. This guy called and goes, you two are the two biggest SEC homers of all time. And Terry goes, you know what? That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. Yes. She says, on my gravestone, I'm going to have that inscribed. Here lies Terry Quillian, the biggest SEC homer of all time.
There you go. There you have it. And why not? It's the best conference. It's been the best conference forever. And it will be the best conference forever. When you talk about the Big Ten, right off the top of your head, we did our top five teams to make the playoffs. Everyone agreed that Ohio State was going to be in the mix. Michigan's gone. They ranked 130th in total offense last year. I don't know what's happened to them. You can make an argument with Iowa's got a really strange.
Well, they don't have any signals anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And every game's 13-6. Penn State, I don't know if Coach Frank.
Yeah, everybody's high on them, Tony. You and I are both, let's wait and see.
I know Legends got his feelings on Franklin as well. And I know your son, Case, who's a Franklin.
Loves Penn State.
Loves Penn State. But I mean, right off the top of your head, this is what we do for a living. We have a show called K4 Wins, which we're going to be doing some handicapping and some games. So Big Ten is going to be part of that. I can't think of it, but when I think of the SEC, I think Alabama, Ole Miss. I think of Kentucky's had some success over the last few years. Then of course Oklahoma, who does not look good since they joined the SEC, but I can't expect them to stay down forever. Texas is knocked down, drag out, fantastic on both sides of the ball. There's about four or five teams, and so I think we actually said what did we say? 4.5 was the over under on SEC teams out of the 12 teams in the playoffs, something like that.
This year, yes.
And the Big Ten, maybe two, maybe three. I don't know. Anyway, I think the Big Ten is blessed to be part of this two-league discussion.
Oh, there's no question. And the only reason, just so people know, it's not just the reputations, it's the television contracts they both have.
Exactly.
The SEC, we might as well rename the leagues. They don't need to be SEC and Big Ten anymore. Really, the leagues, Tony, are ABC/ESPN against Fox/CBS.
You're absolutely correct. You're spot on. And Tony Petitti, who's, I think has done a nice job for the Big Ten. For some reason, the moment feels too big for me, for him. I think everyone looks up to Greg Sankey. I didn't think anybody was going to be bigger than Mike's Live. I didn't. I knew Mike's Live. I worked with Mike's Live. I did barbecues with Mike's Live. We did a whole Jewish thing downtown where I spent a weekend with him. Great guy, carries a big stick, small little Jewish man, he reminded me a lot of Tony Ruffino, believe it or not. I don't know if you remember Tony Ruffino. Tony Ruffino used to run all the concerts. He was the man that brought Led Zeppelin to town. Tony Ruffino could get anybody to town. And once they got here, you were here, you were going to play his way. And I mean, he was just I got goosebumps talking about him. He got me on stage so many times when people, we don't have disc jockeys, bring me. He's like, okay, well then you're not getting fucking paid tonight. I don't know what to tell you. Tony Curry is your man. He's going to say, here's Led Zeppelin, and Led Zeppelin's going to play the first note. You understand? And they're like, okay.
Okay.
And Mike Sly would do the same thing without having to raise his voice. Anyway, so Greg Sankey, he's the godfather. He's the new godfather of college football.
Very commanding this morning in his SEC State of the Union.
Yeah, so I just want to get your thoughts on it, because I know you're knee deep in this. You're quicksand up to your neck in SEC football.
Well, you can't be credible if you're not, you know. I was absorbing all that this morning, starting at 7 o'clock in the morning when the first SEC network show came on, because, you know, Tony, when the lights come on and you're supposed to talk expertly on something, I'm pretty proud of my accomplishment last week, because I did an equal split between news, politics, and sports. And I was on six consecutive days, but you know, in both of those pursuits, maybe if you're on talking about recipes or cooking or, you know, places you've traveled, something general, but if you're talking to hardcore football fans on one show, and then later on in the day, you're talking about news and politics and world events, people listening to those shows. And I know I was a long time listener before I even became such an active participant, and immediately, if somebody says something that's completely wrong or ridiculous, I mean, you're not going to get away with anything doing these kind of shows. You better damn well be up to speed on everything that's happening.
And you better have an opinion on all of it, too.
That's right, because you're not going to stand out. And I like what we do here on this show, because we're not really concerned about stepping on any toes. We give our opinions. Yep. We talk frankly on whatever we're talking about.
I had a friend of mine who used to always say, it is what it is. I'm like, no, it's not. Because when you say it is what it is, you're done talking about it. I don't ever want to hear someone say, well, yeah, it is what it is. No, it's not. If we're discussing something, don't ever say it is what it is, because there is a discussion here. Well, I don't want to talk about it. Then we're going to get into it. And you got to discuss those things, whether it's Cam Newton's bag man or whether it's some type of NCAA kind of thing. If people want to talk about it, there are several different things. We used to have, you know, a line of things when it was a slow news day, and now there's no slow news days in sports anymore. Okay. Is it going to be the Mount Rushmore of college football coaches? Is it going to be Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, or is it going to be Auburn, Alabama? And you know those three things. We're going to open up the phone lines. So continue. But I love what you're saying. And listen, the airwaves are richer and fuller and better for you being on both. I can only imagine, did you at one time, because I know you're not used to being on every single day, and I know you'd love to be on every single day. At any point, did you forget, am I doing politics or sports, and did they ever cross over?
Well, you know, I don't have notes, as you know, when I do shows. I'm aware,
which is an amazing thing.
But sometimes on multiple assignment weeks where I'm going to be concentrating on sports for a couple of days, and then got to go back, I sat in for Leland Whaley, who has. I had forgotten how rigorous doing a 4-hour show is. That's a long damn time when you're by yourself.
I did it for 40 years.
Yeah, and you've got to have material, and you've got to have some mental preparation. So I had some general notes, not notes, more just like outline. Okay, here's things I can talk about, because I don't want to be scripted in these areas. But that is helpful when you're kind of multitasking. Okay, what else did I think about? And you glance at your iPad. Oh yeah, I wanted to talk about Mandani in New York, or talk about the one big beautiful bill and all the misinformation that's flying around about it, or talking about, once again, Terry Quillian gave me a tremendous scoop. I did the Leland show on Friday morning. She called me early in the morning. So I've got a great scoop for you today. She couldn't be on the show, unfortunately, but, she had something else planned. But the scoop was, there's going to be a huge blow up in Washington today, because Dan Bongino, who was a talk show host of great success. He had kind of stepped in the void when Rush Limbaugh passed away. Mm-hmm. Bongino, you know, left that show, which was making him millions of dollars, to go back and be assistant director of the FBI. Bongino got so fed up last week at the cabinet meeting with Pam Bondi deflecting all the stuff about Jeffrey Epstein that he basically stormed out and has not been back to work, and is threatening to go back to radio and quit. Yeah. If she, it's, he basically told Trump it's her or me. Mm-hmm. And I found out about that. It didn't hit the national media till mid afternoon. And Terry still has sources in Washington. So I knew about that about 8 o'clock in the morning. And that's the kind of thing that really gets you and differentiates you. If you're regurgitating the same thing you just heard 5 minutes ago, somebody else say, you're not an effective broadcaster. You have to have the latest information and you have to have edge. You just said a minute ago, you got to give your opinion. You can't be generic or you're just not an effective communicator.
With that being said, we have Tony and Greg, the two guys sitting in the offices trying to figure out what they want to do, the Big Ten and the SEC with our championship. Tell me, look into your crystal ball and tell me what's going to happen, because you know we're going to be going to 16 teams by 2026. I would be amazed if somehow they can't figure out a way, because that just means four more teams, and the chances are those four teams are going to be taken by the SEC and by the Big Ten.
You're absolutely right. It will be 16 for sure. The television networks will collect enough money to make that happen. And and Sank even made that in his comments today. There will be external factors that will determine a lot of our decision making going forward. Well, that external factor is how many more gazillion dollars is Fox and ABC going to throw into the pot. But yeah, I think Sankey said some things you got to read between the lines. He said, everybody's talking about the formation of super conferences. He goes, guess what? Welcome to the SEC. We are already the super conference. He didn't say a super conference. He said the super conference, which I think at the end of the day, the Big Ten can position itself, because they've got the revenue coming in to be on the SEC's plateau. But in terms of how influential they are and how powerful they are, I think the SEC pretty much stands alone. So at the end of the day, Tony, I think that the SEC is going to get basically what they want. And if they just fold their arms and say, no, we're not going to nine conference games until the whole format is changed, because you saw what happened last year. The SEC ended up in the rankings of having six teams in the top 13 and only 12 get in the playoffs. Yep. Indiana and three other Big Ten teams, they got four teams in. They only had four teams in the top 30, I think. Yep. And all of them got in, where the SEC only got three of their six. Mm-hmm. So Sankey's basically saying, without saying it, that, you know, we're only going to look at our format if there's guarantees. Ward Manuel, the athletic director at Michigan, a real neutral guy to be the chairman of the playoff committee last year, remember what he said midseason? Well, we really don't look at strength of schedule very much, because it's not the team's fault who they're playing.
Yeah.
That was the most asinine thing that's ever been said by somebody running that situation, because the SEC schedules are so brutal. And Sankey pointed out this morning, we've got eight conference games, but all of our teams have to play have agreed to play in all of them, are playing one other power conference game every year. And he said six of our teams actually played two power conference games on top of the eight. So that is 10 of the 12 games. So they only had two traditional, what we would call
I think it's important too. First of all, if we're going to make this look like it's fair for everyone, mm-hmm. including the group of five, who, by the way, gets a table, they get a seat at the table. The kids' table takes the chair away. They put it at the adult table. They actually get a seat in this, which is really nice. In a first round bye, which is really
absurd.
Which is really nice of the SEC and Big Ten, by the way. They don't have that. They don't have to do that. But in all fairness, but I mean, these smaller teams, you look at like an Ohio State, all they play is teams in the state of Ohio. They've always played all the teams. They normally don't even leave the state of Ohio till November.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like
Miami,
that.
Ohio. Yeah.
A lot of people like that. And kudos. But I mean, for the UABs, the world, to be able to go to play Neyland, go to Tennessee and play Tennessee, that's huge for their programs. And yeah, it's a payday.
Definitely.
And so now when you're talking about this thing, it was about 10 years where UAB actually has to pay $417,000 a year, back to this, House versus NCAA thing. And they're like, wait a minute, you know, none of our players benefited from any of this stuff, and now we're having to pay $400,000 a year. It's going to sink. So it's important that these teams continue to get their paydays, and I think it's important for college football to have your Appalachian State years where they're knocking off of Michigan and getting a payday as well. It doesn't happen very often, but I do think it strews out some of the bigger players, you know, at the top, because you can't lose a game like an App State now and make the playoffs. I don't think you can.
Yeah. Well, yeah. App State has done it twice now. Remember, they beat Texas A&M. That was one of the biggest nails in Jimbo Fisher's coffin just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to watch. But I really like talking to you about this subject because you are very close to the heartbeat of the other people that you don't hear enough about because of your relationship with Mark Ingram and the programs you do with the athletic director at UAB. So you're hearing from a unique perspective that most people don't have access to. People really that are interested in the dynamics of college football should really tune in here to TKR and listen to your show with Mark every week. I try to catch as many weeks as I can because I learn all kinds of interesting things that I don't have access to.
And you talk about, you had Paul Feinbaum on your show earlier this weekend and just how much he stretched his legs and talked to you for almost a half an hour. Mark is the same way with me, man. We pull the curtains back. We don't have a timetable. And so I will ask him the very difficult questions. And let me, the best analogy I could have, and it popped in my head during a show we did last week. There are four people in a family and we go on a family vacation every year. Right. And so everyone says, okay, what do you want to do on vacation this year? And mom says she wants to go to the beach. And you want to go, you want to go out west and ride horses. And then someone else wants to go to the beach and someone else wants to do this. And you're always the outside person. And you never get the chance to go on the vacation of your dreams. You never end up, well, you know, how about we go to Mexico? Nah.
You're describing my whole life here.
So every single year when you vote to see where you want to go on your favorite vacation, you never get your way. Okay, what's the restaurant we're going to? All right, we ain't gonna listen to you because no one ever likes the restaurant you like. Yeah, and so we're all going Mexican. And so that's what UAB feels like right now. That's what every group of five team feels like right now. They feel like they can throw out whatever they want and no one's listening to a damn thing they got to say. I don't care where you want to vacation. I don't care who you want to go out with. I don't care what you want to eat. We're not listening to you. You can say something. You can put your vote in, but we ain't going to listen to it.
It's going to be worse going forward because just to get the original expansion of the playoffs done, they had to give all the other conferences a vote where it's got to be unanimous. There's 10 conferences in that discussion, but that was only for these first 2 years. Starting next year, it's just simple majority. This unanimity thing is going to be gone, so it's one less card that they can play, even if they stand together.
And then you got this Notre Dame thing where they got their own deal. I mean,
Notre Dame's
seriously,
directors on the committee. It's unbelievable.
If you're going to make me go nine games, then you're taking Notre Dame, or at least let us have them. I mean, to take them, I don't know if the SEC wouldn't mind have taken Notre Dame, but a Notre Dame, I mean, they've sat there and they played this whole thing. Well, you know, it's COVID year, so we'll play an ACC schedule. What the hell? But I mean, if they want to play, then they need to have a conference championship game and they need to play a conference championship game. The fact that they get a free ride just because they're Notre Dame to me is ridiculous. It's a one team conference. It's ridiculous.
It is absolutely. That's
the first thing they need to look at because they are a perennial. They made the playoffs last year. They're a really good football team. And I think Coach Freeman's going to have them in every stinking year. That's the first thing they need to do is go, okay, what are we going to do about neutral teams or teams that do not have a conference? We need to figure that out because there's not enough of them. There are what, four or five teams? Yeah. Four or five teams that are neutral teams that don't have conferences. We need to figure out what we're going to do with these knuckleheads and put them somewhere. Everyone else is going everywhere else. They need to have a conference championship, period.
Yeah, and remember, Notre Dame lost at home to Northern Illinois last year from the MAC, and yet they were still standing strong in the championship.
Pardon me for saying the App State thing, because you're exactly right. They lost to the Huskies and still got in.
Yeah, let's go ahead and genuflect and say, God bless Notre Dame, the ultimate sacred.
I think the world is better for Notre Dame. I think they are. I think they push buttons. I think people pissed off, particularly if you're not Catholic. I think it's great, and they're a good football team. They're always we always say the college sports are better when Notre Dame's good. College sports are better when Alabama's good.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Touchdown Jesus. So, I mean, I'm not saying we should get rid of them by any stretch, but they should be put in their place somewhere. They have to go somewhere, you know?
What was the old slogan? I don't root for Notre Dame because they're Catholic. I root for them because I am. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. It's going to be exciting to see what happens. And again, that telltale line right there of, hey, if we can't agree on it, fine. We both said 12 teams is fine. Come on. Stop.
And from the UAB standpoint, you're just talking about the realisms of finance. They have to have that trip to Tennessee every year or to Georgia.
They have to get a check for a million and a half dollars.
How huge is that for their program?
And Kip, they not only need one, in a lot of cases, they need two.
Yeah.
If UAB makes no sense. And that money doesn't come out of their coffers. That money is taken out of the money that comes from the NCAA. They don't even see that money. You know how at the end of the year, the NCAA strokes a check to everybody and everyone gets their money. The Big Ten gets their $15 million. The SEC gets $20 million per team. UAB, $300,000-$400,000, if that, depending on how many teams make it into the playoffs and how they do it conference-wise. And so they go, this year you're going to make $368,000. And so we're going to take the $471,000 off that. And oh, by the way, you owe us $110,000 to continue to play.
Oh, boy.
And then you want to go ahead and say, well, you have $20 million to pay your players, but you don't have scholarships. I mean, think about the situation these teams are in. The only thing that I think this is a good thing about is we've always said, I thought this was kind of goofy. It was crazy. If you play every game on your schedule and you win every game, you deserve to be in the playoffs. Well, you know, I don't care because if you play, you know, in the AAC or the Conference USA or the Mountain West, and you play every damn game and your conference sucks and you go undefeated, well, all they can do is play the games that are from them. I understand that, but life ain't fair. It's not. Now in this particular case, if you're a Mountain West team and you go undefeated, there's about 85% chance you're going to make the playoffs, particularly if it goes to 16. And I think that's important. Do I think UAB is ever going to go undefeated again? I don't think so. I don't think they'll ever go undefeated. Yeah, they never done in the first place.
They can't buy top grade players.
And for a UAB, that means knocking off Tennessee at Tennessee and maybe losing one game at home by a point. And that's it. You have to play stellar out. You're going to have to do that Boise State thing. We went that Boise State thing. You know, I always said everyone can be in the top three unless it's Boise State. They're not allowed to be in the top three. It had to be top
their
four.
Their best win last year was against UNLV. I mean, that puts it in perspective. Not exactly a football
power. And I don't care if you're blowing them out either. You know, it doesn't matter. Play high school teams and win by 100. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make it a great game.
Well, and that's
game.
What made it so heinous last year. And that's why the Big Ten's fighting so much for this four automatic qualifiers, because they know now, Indiana was 11-1 last year. They played in their conference, they played their 9 conference games, but Tony, it just worked out this way. There were 6 teams in the Big Ten that did not win 6 games and qualify for a bowl game. Indiana played every single solitary one of them. So that was 6 of their conference wins. They did play Ohio State at home and got waxed in their really only true game. And yet, because they were 11-1, they went over Ole Miss, Alabama, and South Carolina, who played a brutal SEC schedule. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the schedule. So what was it? They lost to Notre Dame by 10. They beat Purdue by 66.
They were way down against Notre Dame.
They lose to Ohio State. They knocked off Michigan, which we all
was thought not that, a good team.
No, we all thought Michigan was going to be a lot better last year, and they were not. I love to go back and look at the schedules.
I mean, remember Michigan was in the top 10 in the before you get carried away with preseason polls. Let me remind everybody: last year Michigan was the number 10 team in the country in the preseason poll. And Florida State, Tony, started as number 8 in the country last year. Do you remember what Florida State's record was? Yeah. The number 8 team in the country? 2-10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they played FIU, They played Western Illinois.
And let me tell you,
they played at UCLA. They played
Western Illinois. Tony was added just a month or two before the schedule. They were supposed to play game two at Louisville.
They played
and they paid $2.4 million to buy their way out of that game and replace it with Western Illinois.
They played Charlotte at home.
Yeah,
they played Maryland at home.
No bowl team.
They went on the road at Northwestern, and no, this is not your father's Northwestern.
No bowl team.
They played Nebraska, who couldn't score.
Barely got in. Anybody. They were 6-6.
They barely got in. Washington, who I guess you could make an argument that's pretty good, and then
but they were middle of the road, Peck or Big Ten.
At Michigan State. Then
Michigan State, not a bowl game. Not
Michigan,
a bowl team.
They beat Michigan by 5, 20-15, which is a typical Big Ten score. That's the perfect game. Indiana, Michigan, 20-15. Where the hell else in college football do you get a 20-15 score? Look at the Big Ten. It's an 11 o'clock game every Saturday morning. It's a 20-15. Then, of course, we mentioned Indiana, Ohio State, and of course, Purdue. They went by 66. And of course, they lose.
And remember what Case Kiefer said, who follows this stuff with numbers and is not emotional. He declared about halfway through the year on the starting lineup, our television last year, Purdue is the worst team in the power conferences, and there's nobody even in the same area of them. What was that Indiana score with them was like 68-7.
Yeah, 66-0. That was Purdue. They won 66-0.
The worst team in America.
I would say one other thing too, and this is interesting because there was a reason why I took South Carolina. I mentioned 16 times in the 131-year history of the Gamecocks have they won 8 or more in games. Only 16 times. Bama's done that the last 16 years. Okay, 16 times their 131 history, and only twice have they improved upon that 8-win season. And I've got them going to the playoffs this year as one of my top 5 teams. I went out on a limb because I wanted to have some fun. I could go Texas, I could go Oregon, I could go Ohio State, I could go Alabama, I could go all Texas, I could all this. I thought it'd be fun because they were one game away. You know, Beamer Ball was one game away from getting it done for SEC. You look at South Carolina's schedule, it's very reminiscent of what I'm looking here from Indiana. Maybe not from the Western Illinois standpoint, but it's about as easy as it gets. It is as easy as it gets in the SEC. I think it's the easiest schedule in the SEC. I would actually want to look at something, and I know we can't do this because we have to go 3 or 4 years in advance, but if we're going to go a 9-game schedule, there is no reason why, first of all, the first 5 games should be at home. I hate that. I hate when
Auburn had that last year.
That's a flipping joke. When you don't play a road game until the middle of October, that's ridiculous.
That's absurd.
And good for good for you and your fan base and everything else. But that's a joke. That's really hard to acknowledge a team like that. And then the other thing is, man, if you're playing all the bottom feeders, and I realize that some years, you know, if I said, listen, we're playing Oklahoma, normally you go, oh. Well, that's going to be good. Well, right now, playing Oklahoma ain't no big deal. They didn't even like the play. They didn't do anything.
They
last
were lousy.
Year. They were terrible.
Year, except for the Alabama.
And you were all over their ass last year, by the way. You were all over them towards the end of the season. You're like, you know, this Oklahoma squad's kind of growing on me a little bit. The Sooners are a pretty good team. They also got them in basketball, too. It's a lot of fun to talk. It's not a fair system. I don't like the word automatic. That was a great song by the Pointer Sisters back in 1988, Automatic. I'll never forget it because I heard this song called Automatic, and I was down in Key West with a friend of mine, John Featherston, who was a good radio friend of mine. His dad used to own this hotel called the Casa de Marina down in Key West. And every summer they'd invite me to come down there. And I was 16 years old. And I remember walking through the lobby of this hotel that was unlike anything I'd ever been in before. First time I ever had 2 forks next to my place instead of 1. I thought, wow, this is special. I get 2 forks instead of 1. Like, holy shit. We're big time, baby. We're big time. I think I still have that fork. And I remember hearing Automatic in the lobby. And I still hear that song. And I still think about that day. I don't like Automatic anything. I think you earn it. There's nothing automatic in life, period. If you're good enough to get in, you're going to get in. And I don't know why the Big Ten is so stuck on doing this automatic thing. Maybe because of what
so
you just said.
Well, they're so top heavy that they figured that's their
They want to make sure their
formula.
Tops are getting in. Yeah, because they know that no one else is getting in. But they want to make sure. But to your point, they got 3 of the teams in. The SEC got 4 in. Maybe that's why they want that automatic. But I hate when you automatically get in. I just don't like that. If you're good enough, you're going to get in. And I think if you go to the top 5 highest ranked conference champions, you're still going to get in, right? I mean, yep. you still get a shot. Well, certainly if you go to 16, you are. Let me ask you this, and then I'm going to let you fly. And this has been fire me up, and I love this. And I wish we could just take this and run this on Saturday morning for 45 minutes. I think it'd be great.
Well, you're welcome to come on the radio any Saturday morning. We can do this for 2 hours. You know,
well, we'll do that, and we'll do that on our television show, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We will definitely be doing it.
Do you see, and you've got a really good grasp on this, Kalen DeBoer. You knew he was going to be the head coach at Alabama before everyone did, even Jeff, even Jeff Spiegel. And by the way, thanks to Jess Beagle, who joined the show last week. Tim Brando, by the way, is supposed to join us this Saturday. If we go to 16, are we done? 16 playoff teams, 2026. What in then say the next, I'm going to go 5 years. I say 10, but I know it's going to change. But I'll say in the next 5 years, what happens? Tell me, don't just tell me what it looks like. What is college football? What do the conferences look like? Do we have 4 16 team conferences? Have we gone to 24 teams and 16? What's it look like in 5 years to you?
I think we're on almost an inevitable pathway to establishing an NFL style college football league where the Big Ten and the SEC will expand further and bring in teams from the better teams, the high level teams from the Big 12 and the ACC. Those conferences will be left with just the bare minimum. I think both those leagues could expand up to 24 teams. You've already got 18 in the Big Ten. That would be 6 more for them, be 8 more for the SEC. I think you're going to see an NFL style super league between the Fox and the ABC ESPN.
So hold on. So you're saying we're going to have 2 leagues of 24 teams each, and then what's the rest of college football look like?
It's going to be like the secondary league. It's going to be
that's only 48 teams though.
Yeah, well, all the rest of them are going to be, right now we've got Division II. That's going to become the new Division II. Maybe they'll throw them a bone, and the overall team that wins the championship amongst the also-rans will get a berth in the playoffs. In Europe, they do the whole thing with the soccers. The 3 shittiest teams get demoted out of the league, and they move champions of the next level.
It's the only thing up. It's the only thing I like about soccer. I actually like that idea.
Maybe there'd still be a recipe where you could get back in the mix, but which would incentivize, let's say, just pick a team. Boston College gets left out. Do they get their boosters to kick in $10, $12 million so they can win the B League and maybe get elevated? I mean, I can see TV runs so much of this, and it's all about the revenue. And I think there's some dreamers out there that see the NFL model. And Tony, we've talked about this before. Out of the top 100 programs in ratings last year, 81 of them were NFL broadcasts. Yep.
Top nine out of 10. Yeah.
Yeah. And 81 out of 100. Mm-hmm. So it's just unbelievable the power that league has. And you can't tell me that TV executives aren't eyeballing all of the premier schools. They've already done it to some extent. They took the powerhouses from the West and put them in the Big Ten. The SEC's expanding. I told you, with the NCAA on a wobbly path, I heard Sankey, and I haven't heard him say anything like this lately, but Sankey at one point when they were saying, would you be interested in Florida and Florida State and Clemson coming in the league? He goes, I'm kind of looking at some other places, with basketball ascending so quickly. I'm looking at North Carolina and Duke and Kansas in the SEC.
I take Duke in a heartbeat. And listen, they've had some success in college football at some level.
I mean,
but the thing is, they're going to be getting SEC money. And when they get SEC money, then their football program is going to be better markedly right off the bat.
And none of them are dumpster fires.
No, it's not going to be. It won't be David Cutcliffe stuff. They'll actually be good stuff because they're going to have to play.
Exactly.
They're going to have to invest in that. And Duke's already got that money. So I do think, and I will say this because I'm going to forget, I'm getting old and you're throwing out so many things I want to comment on. It's unbelievable. First of all, D2, D3 football, I don't think that needs to change at all. I think that's going to be fine. I don't think we're going to see a lot of people were like, oh, it's going to get what's going to be exercised is all these D1 schools are going to go, we can't afford to play. We're going to go to D2. That's never going to happen because the money is not even remotely close to what it is and what they can get paid every single year. I think we're going to have, I use this, the Uber effect. Uber lost $3 $3 billion last year. Normally, when you have a business that loses $3 billion, you close your doors. You can't afford to stay open.
You're done.
But Uber's so big. It's so monstrous. It makes so much money for so many people who work inside that industry of Uber that it'll never go away. It's a money buster. It'll never make any money. Your stock will never go anywhere, but it's going to be around for as long as we last. And the money will continue to pour. It's, you know what it is? It's a pyramid scheme. It's a pyramid scheme. The last person will never get their money back. But as long as people keep riding Uber, the money at the top will continue to flow to the top. Nuts. And I think that's what happens to every other college football team out there, including the UABs of the world, who are just bitching and moaning saying, Mark Ingram is a smart guy. He came from Tennessee. He's a really smart guy. And I mean, he's the first guy going, listen, I'm not pointing fingers anymore. We can use the old excuse, the Governor Abbott. We're not pointing fingers anymore. You know, real teams come up with solutions. And we're going to have to figure out a way. And I think a lot of it's going to have to do with the SIDs and the way they schedule football teams. They're going to have to get those big fat paydays. You know, UAB is going to love going to Tennessee this year. They don't care. I mean, obviously, if you get a shot to beat a Tennessee on the road in Neyland Stadium, that's all they're asking for. They may get blown out by 40. That may be the game that Trent Dilfer loses and not doesn't come back. I'm afraid. Yeah. I hope they end up going to a bowl game. But I do think Chicken Little is not dead yet. I think the ceiling may be falling a little bit. We may be getting some fallout, but I think we're going to be okay. But I think there's going to be a lot of programs, including UAB, because they're going to be looking at cutting the archery, the bowling, the volleyball, the baseball stuff before they ever have to cut their football program, particularly now that it came back in 2017. I don't know how other schools are going to do it, the Charlottes of the world or the Boise States or whatever, but I think there's just too much money there. There's just too much money there. And even if they're losing money, it's worthy of having it open because a lot of people do, believe it or not, go to UAB for the sports.
Well, and archery and bowling and all that, they're going to have to come up with ways to generate revenue for their sports, whether it's it's a sad reality, but you can't depend on the big revenue sports to supplement all that because now the big revenue sports have to supplement themselves. It's been a gravy train, but the gravy train is going to grind to a stop for all the minor sports, and that's sad.
Yeah, it really is sad. Great stuff, man. I am stoked. I'm ready to go, baby. I'm ready to college football big time. Hey, we do a ton of shows here. I know you've been all over the place. Give me your website where everyone can find out where exactly you are broadcasting first.
KQshows.com.
KQshows.
We will have, it's posted right now and you'll have it on TKR as well. If you missed our shows, the starting lineup on Saturday, please log on to TKR or KQ Shows today and watch the show. We had a great show. Jeff Spiegel was fantastic, the sports director of ABC. And we had the ultimate guest in the legend cave when Bama Hater came to call with legend.
He carried his own, did he not? He carried his own. I was impressed. I was like, damn, he was good. I mean, he carried his own. I mean, sometimes you get in a legend cave, man. A legend's so damn loud, you don't know when to stick your nose in. And Bama Hader, he stepped in. He did a really nice job. I was really impressed.
Yeah, we had AJ from Pell City, a Feinbaum caller, on once, and legend overwhelmed him so much that AJ got stage fright and couldn't respond. And legend goes, "See, you can't even talk. You're so intimidated."
He does just like he does in the Paul Feinbaum radio. Well, yeah, when they link him together, he's gonna overtalk you. I got news for you. He's always gonna be loud. So
it's must see TV. It was a great episode, and we're gonna bring it all year long. We're gonna have the best football season ever.
We are,
people say, too. Well, you're competing with Game Day and SEC Nation.
No, we're not. We're local. Yeah, good.
We've got our own niche. Thing. If you love Alabama and Auburn and SEC football, if you watch any other show besides ours, you're really missing the boat.
We're gonna have.
If you want to watch Game Day up in Minnesota for the Minnesota Illinois game, knock yourself out. We're not going to even mention that game unless we're going to bet on it.
And we're going to have our own celebrity pickers too. Like we had last year, we had some really good. We had one client who does a show with us and went 9-0 in one Saturday. 9-0. We give him seven games. He picked two on his own, went 9-0. We're talking about Kai. Also, don't forget K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com is a website. It's a gambling site. If you want to make some money, you got about 6 weeks to go ahead and build those coffers up. I had a really good week last week. I know you went 2-1 last night. I went 5-2 yesterday. So between the two of us, we went 7-2. We were on fire, or 7-3. And we are just hitting at a wonderful clip. And of course, it's a one of the reasons is we have Case, your son, who of course works for the Las Vegas Sun, is a chief editor out there, does fantastic work and just is so knowledgeable about everything from Wimbledon to whatever it is. If there's a way to make money on it, he knows how to do that. So we're going to have that show. We're going to be also on something called the Coastal Sports Network, which is a brand new network we're on. It's literally doubling our listenership, which is super cool, super good. And special thanks to Angel and everyone down at 102.9 down at Fort Myers, and of course the entire East Coast. We're growing exponentially in many, many different ways. We cannot wait for football season. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Tony, it was a blast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.